You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are recording at the LCMS convention in Phoenix. At the convention, we had the opportunity to catch up with LCMS missionary Tyler McMiller, who serves in Italy.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can learn more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Joining us today, the Reverend Tyler McMiller. He's a missionary, an LCMS missionary, serving the Lord in Italy. Welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Thank you very much.
We are delighted to have the opportunity to sit down and talk with you now. You are so gracious and served as a translator for some of our interviews here at the convention, and we appreciate that.
That was also very fun.
It was fun to have you on for those.
You've served in a variety of places, and you now serve the Lord in Italy.
Yeah.
Can you share with us a brief history of the Lutheran Church in Italy?
Yeah, the Lutheran Church in Italy started around three men who were studying to be pastors without a pastor of their own. They had learned about the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and confessional Lutheranism through the internet. Different YouTube pastors like Brian Wolfmuller, who are always doing great videos promoting our what we believe, teach, and confess. And they contacted the LCMS. They were originally confirmed and served by a Romanian Lutheran pastor who was coming over there as often as he could. And then I received the call out of seminary to go there and to be mentoring those men, but also serving our network of house churches across the peninsula.
So this is not a very old history.
No, it's not. I've been there since January of 2022. Mm-hmm. I've been renting, and you could say the first contacts that we had in Italy are maybe 5 years older than that, mm-hmm. at most.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a very new history.
That's fabulous. Tell us about what the Lutheran Church, I suppose, looks like today in Italy.
Well, we're very reliant upon the internet for a lot of things.
Yeah.
Just yesterday, I taught a weekly catechism class that we have on the small catechism. It started on the Augsburg Confession. We were trying to do the whole Book of Concord in Italian online. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of people who come to this. Being a Christian in Italy, in Europe in general, and Italy in particular, is very intellectual. Mm-hmm. It's a very intellectual thing. So we have I bought a lot of Facebook groups, Italian Facebook groups. I share these classes, and I get a good group of people. We went through the Augsburg Confession, and now I do this small catechism, which is also part of the Book of Concord. So mm-hmm. that was a slam dunk mm-hmm. there.
Yeah.
It was a little bit easier. But we have this, right now it's really grown around, a lot of our members are actually, a lot of our most faithful members, who are actually members, not just attending different classes that I teach, are from our partner churches across the world. Who are immigrating to Italy. They contact me. We try to get something going, and I put them on my big rotation list of places I try to get to.
Yeah, tell us more about the people who are served by this mission in Italy. Sounds like you are probably, you use the internet quite a bit. Are you still traveling quite a bit around the peninsula as well?
Yeah, the goal is to be in person. The goal is to be in person, but the internet does allow me to kind of judge how serious these contacts are. Mm. Because I get contacted by so many people and the levels of interest are different. But if they're faithfully attending things that I do online, then I say, okay, now we're ready for me to make this 5-hour trip one way. So we have six places that I'm traveling to that are being traveled to regularly across the peninsula. We have a house church in the northeast corner, by Venice. Right now, I've moved from Rome to a city south of Milan called Piacenza. We have a great group there. And we actually worship in a 1,000-year-old ex-Roman Catholic church that was bought by an artist, and he made it into an art studio. So we're very thankful for that.
Wow.
We have a house church in Florence. We have our mother congregation in downtown Rome. And we have two preaching, I kind of call them preaching stations, near Naples and in the southeast corner of Italy as well that I get to. Yeah.
What does that travel look like for you? What is a week or a month, I suppose? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a month.
A month. What does that look like for you as the missionary on the ground doing this work? What is life like for you doing all of that?
Well, it's not walking with sandals or a staff.
Some things have improved.
It's not, yeah. It's not by horse either.
That would be fun.
I don't know. It's not by horse like they did it in the Midwest, planting all those churches.
Oh, yeah. You
know? Like Winneken was mentioned and his at the convention.
Yeah.
But it's by train. It's by train, okay. And by bus.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I'm sorry you have to travel all over Italy.
Yeah, that's
such miserable. A hard life.
Well, it's
sounds miserable.
It's northern Italy. Wait, what? It's the Florence, Piacenza, Padova corridor. That's very easy. So getting to those southern Italy places could be pretty. That could be a little bit. You know, woe is me. But no. But that could be a little bit difficult. Yeah. But no, I totally agree. I'm so thankful to do it. It's such a pleasure and such an honor. And to gather with these groups of people that they themselves are often traveling great distances to meet me in these kind of central locations. It's very humbling. I'm very thankful.
Italy is a very Roman Catholic culture, right? Are there challenges with holding a Lutheran mission in a very Roman Catholic culture? Mm.
Yeah, so we have this huge divide in our church. There's kind of three big groups of people that I'm serving as a pastor. One is people who grew up Lutheran and have immigrated to Italy from Brazil, Argentina, Chile, Venezuela, even from Europe too, Germany, Finland. That's one group. The other group are the very, very intellectual people who have kind of read their way into Lutheranism, and many of them are Italian. But then there's this third group that is obviously the vast, vast, vast majority of people anywhere, and especially in Italy, who are have a very, very superficial knowledge of what it means to be a Christian. And, you know, just the abysmal lack of knowledge of basic Bible stories among those people. So that's been a real challenge. It's been a real challenge and a real opportunity to kind of get out of the very heady Italian philosophy, theology, and the people who grew up Lutheran to communicate the gospel to that group has been a real challenge that we've tried different things to overcome.
Tell us about some of those things.
if we have time.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that I did is I started it started as a Christmas party. And we invited a bunch of our neighbors, and they all came. And they were all completely new to Christianity. We sang hymns, we ate cheese and prosciutto, and drank wine, and it was very, very fun. And we continued.
That's
we
awful.
Anyway. So we were gathering together, and we read through Luke 2, and what was intended as a one-time thing became a weekly Thursday night Bible study with different friends and neighbors. And one of the really humbling things that happened, I spoke about it at convention as well, was how one of the neighbors, I waited for there to be a good group of people, and I threw the prodigal son at them. You know, Luke 15, I had it printed out, and very quickly became aware that they had no idea. They had never heard this story before. And one of my neighbors just fell completely into the trap that Jesus springs of saying, oh, this prodigal son who has lost the inheritance feeding pigs, he's going to have to work his way back into his father's graces. Mm-hmm. And my 80-year-old neighbor was so thrilled that this punk, you know, arrogant, grateless child was going to have to learn the value of hard work, respect, and work his way back in. And we're at the bottom of the page, but the story flips over, you know? So I said, okay. So he's just so euphoric at this story of hard work. And I'm like, okay, we're going to flip the story over now. And we see it, and it, you know, it's all grace, all forgiveness. And my poor neighbor was just white as a sheet. You know, he was very embarrassed. And, but thankfully I found him the next day. We were able to talk. And he hasn't missed a he's hardly missed a Thursday night Bible study since we started a year and a half ago. So that was very humbling to be a part of that.
Yeah. Yeah. We're talking with the Reverend Tyler McMiller, LCMS missionary, serving the Lord in Italy. We have more to talk about after we take a quick break. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We're talking with the Reverend Tyler McMiller, an LCMS missionary serving the Lord in Italy while we are at the LCMS Synodical Convention in Phoenix, Arizona. And you've been sharing your story of serving people in Italy, finding people to come to these churches. How do you find people who are interested in Lutheranism, in learning theology? You've got house churches, you've got places you're going to all over the peninsula. How are you reaching into communities to find people who are interested?
Well, I said it at the convention too, and I always try to make a point of this anytime I speak about Italy. If you know of anyone who is Lutheran, who has moved to Italy, even if they're only there, we have a lot of Americans that are there for 3 months, leave for 3 months. Mm-hmm. They work online and they just, you know, that's great. And they're very faithful, members as well when they're there.
Yeah.
They're kind of our snowbirds.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they're pasta birds.
Pasta birds.
I don't quite have the right term. I've been working on it for
like
a little
pasta
while.
Pasta bird.
Anyway, but they're there, and it's a lot through the internet. Of course, there is an ever growing amount of people who are learning about confessional Lutheranism through the internet. KFUO is also very listened to. I was just contacted by a guy in the northeast corner of Italy who listens to KFUO. So
that's awesome. Wow.
And he said, oh, if you see the KFUO, I mean, it's just ridiculous. So I have to meet him. He wrote me a couple weeks ago. But what we do is, one of the things that I do is I have a weekly Sunday morning online service of the word, because we don't have access to any church building Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
We have access to church buildings Saturday morning, Saturday evening, Sunday evening. So Sunday morning's free. So I always have this online. And if you don't want to come to the online service, that's fine. Maybe you can come to one of our missions. But if you are coming regularly to the Sunday online service and you live in a far from one of our missions, that's how the church in Piacenza by Milan started. There were two Chilean families that were attending it for 2 months before I finally was like, all right, when can we do the Lord's Supper?
And
start a church there as well. And that's how the church in San Giovanni Rotondo started as well, which is in the southeast corner.
So
that they got to meet me, you know, they got to meet me Not even halfway, you know, but yeah, but a lot, and we have a lot of members who don't like the online, and that's fine. And they're able to come to one of our missions and they're willing to make that trip.
Yeah.
You mentioned earlier that there are others who are serving in this mission. Serving alone. Tell us about your brothers in the ministry there.
Thank you very much. We recently celebrated the ordination of our first two Italian pastors. Joshua Salas and Lorenzo Moroni, and they were a part of that initial cohort, those three men that I mentioned from the beginning. They were ordained last year, and I overlapped with them for a year in Rome before finally making the jump to move to the our church in Piacenza. They contacted the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod originally through our regional business manager, Michael and Nancy Maurizio, who are living now in Rome. They were living before in Abruzzo, which is farther to the east. Mm-hmm. And so they're doing, that's a great group there in Rome. And we also have our seminarian, Luis Lange, who is, in some ways, he's kind of the first member. He was the first person to reach out to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He is in Padova, which is by Venice in the northeast corner. And recently, a year ago, we were joined by Pastor Jason Stephenson and his family, who is an LCMS missionary. He had been in Africa, and he's there now.
Tell us about the ordination of the first Italian Lutheran pastors. It was a big deal on social media. I saw so many pictures. Tell us what that was like for the LCMS people who were able to go, but also for the small Lutheran group that was in Italy at the time.
Yeah, we were able to coordinate it really well with a theological conference that we were able to have. And that was just a great opportunity. Again, all these people who are scattered, who have only known each other online, were able to come together for our first theological conference, which was in Rome. And then a year later, we were able to have a second one. And that one was much better attended. That was really great to see all those people coming together, people from across the peninsula for a sort of convention in some ways, perhaps, or maybe a symposia. We had pastors from all over the region that were a part of that ordination, which was a really great blessing because, of course, our church in Italy is small. And to have that kind of support and to show so many brothers from across Europe and across the world. We had the regional director, Dr. David Price, of course, was there. So many of the professors of Joshua Lorenzo in their seminary training who were there. We had Bishop Pojola from Finland who was there as well. We had Pastor Soren Triffa who had been the one who had catechized and confirmed Joshua Lorenzo. I could just go on and on. It was a really awesome show of support for these for this young church and these newly ordained pastors. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that on Sundays, a church building really isn't available on Sunday morning.
No, yeah.
You have access to church buildings on Saturdays and then on Sunday evenings as well. So on Sunday mornings, you offer a service of word online. Yeah. What does worship and congregational life look like when you are able to meet in person? What does that look like? I know there have been some new resources in development.
Right. We have, we've had a Lutheran. One of the first things that, you know, we're so blessed with our Lutheran service book. It's a huge blessing. And I think we can give a word of thankfulness for how many resources that little book just has. And when I first arrived, we didn't have any of that stuff. So we were slowly working on, we worked on a service. We did the service of prayer and preaching in Italian, which was pretty good. It was good. And then we did a version of Matins and Vespers. And now we have a hymnal that we have recently prototyped and we're going through it and we're introducing it to the different congregations, a mammoth effort of translation. We have very, very gifted, people who are very, very gifted with languages in Italy. Pastor Lorenzo Moroni is extremely gifted at languages and has a real talent for translation. Michael Maurizio, the business manager, he has his master's in music. And Luis Lange up in Padova, he was a very successful musician as well. And knows German. So we have a great group and you think of such a young church that's really just starting to have that many resources is really incredible. Yeah. But yeah, we're mainly just meeting in, it's still a lot of meeting in living rooms. The 1,000-year-old Roman Catholic Church, ex-Roman Catholic Church that we're able to use that's pretty unique.
Yeah.
What
are some of the things on the horizon, things that are in the works that you're working on, the exciting things happening in the future for you? What kinds of things are bubbling up now that you've been there for a few years.
I don't know.
Next question.
I don't know what the future. I'm always surprised.
Uh-huh.
We are working. I see a lot of potential for translation.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of leaning into how academic Christianity in Europe and especially Italy looks. Mm-hmm. I think we just got to lean into that and say, this is a good thing. Yeah. You know, it's not perfect, but it's good. And we're working a lot on translation. I hope to be working on that more in the years to come. We have moved. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I mentioned that. We moved from Rome to the church in Piacenza, which is just south of Milan.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks ago.
Oh. And then came
and
here.
Now I'm here. And so that's there's great possibilities up in the north.
Mm-hmm.
I would have loved to have been south.
Yeah.
But north.
Womp, womp.
But northern Italy, yeah. But there's some great possibilities, so many great contacts up there that I'm looking forward to being able to dedicate more time to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mentioned moving from Rome to near Milan.
Yeah.
How's family life for you and your family in Italy?
They're doing well. They're good. They're doing well. My my wife Yanella her baptism is a fruit of LCMS missions.
Mm-hmm.
She was baptized when she was 17 in the Dominican Republic, and before seminary, I was a lay missionary, a GO.
Mm-hmm.
In the Dominican Republic in Mexico. And we went to seminary together, and now we're in Italy together. And we have two daughters, a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old. And they're doing well. They're doing well. They've been going to school in Italian for, Leah, the 7-year-old, has been going for, she'll be doing her third year this September, starting it.
So language acquisition is,
yeah,
she for the kids especially, I'm sure.
Yeah, if you were to ask her, you know, do you speak Italian? she said last time someone asked her that, she looked at him, she said, "Of course." I was like, "Okay, kid, take it easy." So it's good, you know. Yeah, yeah. I don't know why that's such a touchy subject, but hopefully it's not. It won't result in some trauma later on in life.
Oh, that's fabulous. But you have missionary kid life yourself in your background.
Yeah, I'm also very confused.
Yeah, how has that served you?
Yeah.
In good or bad ways?
I'm confused.
In what you're doing now.
Yeah. No, well, that's what they said. There was, "Oh, your kids are going to know so many languages." I'm like, they'll just be really confused.
Yeah.
But my father was a LCMS pastor for 15 years
mm-hmm.
in Latin America, Peru, Chile, and Panama.
Mm-hmm.
And I mainly grew up in Panama.
Mm-hmm.
And my father was doing a lot, of course, theological education and church planting there. And then we came, back to the States.
So how many languages do you speak comfortably?
We won't ask.
Well, I got one, English.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Fluent in English.
Right? Fluent in English?
Sure. Yes.
Yeah.
Fluent in English, I think so. I think I got Italian. I feel comfortable in Italian. And I do have Spanish.
And then seminary you also studied, not that you studied biblical languages too for seminary.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Right, so many languages.
There's a lot of confusion
going on in there.
Yeah. A lot of confusion. Yeah.
All right. Since you alluded to this earlier, I always have to ask the food question because we have a minute left.
Okay.
Because you travel a lot to serve and care for those souls, so imagine that involves some experiencing different food. What's the food like? You mentioned you are in northern Italy. You were hoping to be in southern Italy. Does it have to do with the food?
It does have to do with the food. It has to do with, you know, southern Italy is everything an American thinks Italy is.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas northern Italy, you know, Northern Italy is so clean. too clean. But Southern Italy is so fun. And yeah, I mean, I eat, obviously, but Italian food takes so long. You know, you really have to be committed to it. It's a 2-3 hour thing, you know? So I eat a lot of, I eat a lot of Chinese food.
Interesting.
Yeah, well, because you got to do the appetizer, then the first dish, then the second dish, then the, and you know.
It's a thing.
Sounds terrible.
Andy loves food, so he'll take your place eating all the food.
You can take all the food, yeah. Yeah, well, no, but and Southern Italy is crazy with that, with the food culture in Southern Italy. But Northern Italy is too. In Piacenza, we eat horse. There's a lot of horse.
Interesting.
Horse tartare. Do you know what tartare is?
I do.
Raw horse. Raw horse.
Okay. Not what I was expecting.
It's good. Yeah, that's good. It's good.
All right. Moving on from that question. How can we pray for you, your family, and the ministry happening in Italy?
Well, continue to pray for our church. I mentioned it at the convention speech. I see miracles all the time. Mm-hmm. So I know people are praying. So keep it up. And pray for our newly ordained pastors, Joshua and Lorenzo, Joshua Salas, Lorenzo Moroni. This move to Piacenza, is obviously a big step, and hoping to be in contact with people and have our apartment and the church there be a church home to people who are very lonely and very much in need of the gospel, like we've been able to do in other places. That's a big prayer.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that we can continue to, branch out and be connected to people and preach the gospel that we have in Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins that we have in his name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Our guest today, the Reverend Tyler McMiller, is an LCMS missionary serving the Lord in Italy. Thank you so much for being our guest today on the Coffee Hour.
Thank you so much. It was a lot of fun.
You've been listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour is a production of KFUO. This program and our station are dependent on listeners just like you. To support KFUO Radio, our podcast, and all the other programming, please make your gift or pledge today at kfuo.org/give and help us continue sharing the good news of Christ for you anytime, anywhere. kfuo.org/give.